speaking.
I'm not going to answer that question. We are in 2 Peter chapter 1 for one more week, and then at least one more week, probably just one, look at the time, we might have 2 more weeks. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting about verse 16, if you're following along there, 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables which were made known unto you, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty, and he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy," and that phrase right there is so important. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Last couple of weeks we talked about a very succinct, easy to memorize, how we can trust the Bible. Scripture is a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. And they report to us supernatural events, fulfillment of specific prophecies, and claim to be of divine and not human origin. Therefore, you and I can trust God's Word. Now, this transfiguration affirms four things for us. First of all, Jesus is indeed the Son of God. We find in Matthew chapter 17, one of the accounts of the transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" So he is the Son of God. We also have an affirmation of the Trinity. Now, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned there specifically earlier on at the baptism. Of course, he was in other places. We find the three together, but we are Trinitarian belief people. Now, what do we classify any religion? Any religion that denies the deity of Christ. What would we classify it as? False. Heresy. False religion. Fake. Almost every single religion, it seems, has secret knowledge or secret things that you must learn or understand, or to reach the inner circles of that religion. Isn't it great that we have all the truths that God wanted to proclaim to us in the person of His Son, also in the person of the Holy Word? There is plenty here for you and I for several lifetimes. Matter of fact, for eternity, I think we're going to be understanding and getting stuff from and learning and growing from the Word of God. It's a living, vibrant, and in the person of Christ, breathing Word. And so, there's no secrets. Actually, if we would just learn the things that are plain, that would be a great thing for most people. Don't even want to work on learning the plain things in Scripture. Oh, the Scripture is just too hard. I think that's an excuse, really. Just, there are some things that are difficult to understand, yes. But most of Scripture we can understand for ourselves. And the Holy Spirit, does He not teach us? Yes. Second thing, Jesus' purpose in coming was the redemption. Your blank is redemption of lost sinners. He planned, therefore, His decease, His exodus, if you would. They're talking about the plan, if you would, Moses and Elijah with Christ, the plan. And I think for just a moment, Christ allowed His glory to be seen. The glory that He was keeping inside, if you would, all the time, other times here on earth, even from the birth there. But that for just the glory of God, what an encouragement that would have had to have been to the disciples. Of course, Peter quickly said, "Let's build some tabernacles here." And he forgot that Christ is the one. Three, the truth of Scriptures. The truth of Scripture. Psalm 119, 160. We can trust the Scriptures. They are so clear for us. Prophecies are so abundant. And it's amazing. They're the only way you can explain the Bible and the fulfillment of prophecy is because God wrote it. And fourthly, the reality of God's kingdom. The transfiguration made it clear that Jesus' suffering would lead to glory and that the cross would ultimately lead to a crown. Why was the transfiguration? Why did Peter single this out? Well, they saw more clearly than anywhere else the special, amazing glory of God. And Peter says, I've seen this glory, and I personally believe that when he says a more sure word of prophecy, that even though Peter had seen the Lord and heard him speak clearly, I believe that referring then to that the Bible, the written word, is even, we have God's word to us now. A more sure word even than my experience of seeing the Christ is Christ's word for us, written down for us. And so God has magnified his word above his name, it says in the Psalms. And so we have God's word to us. So Peter is saying, what amazing thing. And we see he was strengthened at the transfiguration for what God had called him to do. God had called him to go to the cross. And so the suffering leads to glory when we are in the will of God. Suffering leads to glory. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We are suffering this, the present sufferings of this present time, the things we're going through now, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so I'm sure a lot of you are going through difficult times. Hasn't this been some year? A year like never before. A year like we probably never want to have again. But God is still with us. He is still watching over us. So the world darkens as we continue on, but the word shines, it should be plural, shines, starting verse 19, shines. Now in verse 19 it says we have, and we're back over here to 2 Peter chapter, by the way, how many general epistles do we find in the New Testament? How many general epistles? I'm looking for an exact number. It's less than 27. More than one. Eight. If you had said eight, I would have said, yes, that is correct. Eight general epistles, 13 Pauline epistles, four gospels, one history, one prophetic book, and there you have 27 books of the New Testament in a very easy to understand direction. Now, according to these verses, in chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. We are to take heed unto the sure word of prophecy that God has given to us through the pen of mankind as they were moved in verse 21, carried along by the Holy Ghost. Man wrote down exactly what God wanted him to say. So according to these verses, what should we be warned against? All these verses, and that is false teachers. There are those who say, well, we have a new thing, or we have something just as important, or I got a revelation from God, and God spoke audibly to me, and they said that we need to make Diet Mountain Dew the number one drink in the entire land. So we must do all that we can to make Diet Mountain Dew, and just, that's what God has told me. He'd say, is the pastoral search committee ready to start working again? Because this pastor has lost it. God has finished his revelation to us. And aren't you glad? We should be thrilled that we don't have to worry about someone coming up who had a bad pizza that night and some later, oh, I've got to add more to God's word. Or that we're going to find the third epistle that Paul wrote to the Corinthians and we must add that in there. No. We have a completed canon. A revelation that everything God wanted us to know about himself is here. Can you imagine if God wrote everything about himself in a book? The books. Well, John said himself, what? The world could not contain the books if we talked about everything about who God is. So false teachers is your answer. Page 2, if you're still hanging in there with me, page number 2. Now, do you think that Jesus or the apostles thought that the world would get better and better and better morally and spiritually? And I don't think they did. For they were looking for what? From the get-go, the church at Thessalonica was looking for what? Jesus to do what? To come back. What's happened to my loved ones who's gone on before? And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, etc. And Paul wrote those wonderful words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And by the way, for those who believe that we are in right now the millennium's in the hearts or in the hearts of those in heaven, and they're looking for the earth to get to so much better so Jesus can come to an earth ready for him, we don't find an all millennial or even a post millennial view in Scripture. It's after the Bible was written do we have those starting to espouse that all millennialism, it's not really in the Bible. So what is your impression, question number three, without being too specific or caustic, what is your impression regarding the spiritual and moral direction of America and the world as a whole? Downhill rapidly. I don't know if you've heard about Senate Bill 145 in California. Just was passed this past week. Had been trying to get through the Senate. And believe it or not, there were several of the legislators in California voted against it. But what it basically says, if you are a person and you want to have a relationship, an immoral relationship with a minor, 14 years of age or older, then the judge will have latitude to decide whether you're going to go on the sexual offender list or not. And because there is that latitude for those who are heterosexual, then the LGBTQ want that for their side as well. It's passed both the House and the Senate, and it's on Newsom's desk to sign. Don't you think if we're really as a nation serious about protecting our children, that we will be doing just the opposite? Instead of granting loopholes for people to wiggle through, we should be closing those things and protecting ourselves and our children. We should stop killing our own children, for number one. You want to know that's a great devastation, far greater than COVID will ever be, I believe, is the abortion. Far more children are dying, have died, through abortion during this time, and probably for other reasons. Isn't it interesting? We hardly hear about any other disease. And yet other diseases are likely, and I believe they are, killing more people during this version, but we only hear about this one thing. We have to keep our perspectives. We are to believe and not to doubt. There was a man who lived in Long Island, New York, and he bought a high-quality barometer. When it was delivered to his home, the arrow appeared to be stuck, pointing into the section marked hurricane. According to the noted Bible teacher, Mr. English, the man shook the barometer, but the indicator stayed the same. So the man sat down and wrote a scorching letter to the store where he had bought it. The following morning, on the way to his office, he mailed that letter. Later that day, a hurricane struck the East Coast. That evening, the man returned to Long Island to find that his barometer was missing, and so was his house. He didn't believe it. I tell you, we can have the utmost assurance that what God has given us has passed the test of time. How many people going on before us have trusted this all the way to heaven? They have. It's just our turn. You say, but Pastor Tim, we've got... Oh, don't start down the road we've got it so terrible. We have had it. We've had it pretty easy. I'm having to say, we've had it pretty easy. You should read the true account of our history. Which, I think before long, I believe the true account of American history is going to be by the wayside. And it's going to be whatever agenda someone wants to say about it. You should read about, I told you before, This Day in Baptist History. There's three devotional books for the entire year, This Day in Baptist History. And see what our Baptist forefathers went through, that you and I can sit here in freedom tonight and preach God's Word. And we should rejoice we still can while we can. It is a sure word, first of all, number one. It is a sure word, a more sure word. As Morris says, as sure as Peter was of what he had seen and heard, this was only his own experience and could only be given as a personal testimony to others. Thus he stressed that God's written word, available to all in the Holy Scriptures, was more sure than any personal experience that he or others might have. I was just heard about this morning about the memorandum from the office of the president about the teaching that has gone on regarding a theory across that's so divisive, and the memorandum is it must cease and desist as of the very moment. But unless there are some concrete guidelines and real restrictions given forth, there are going to be those who sort of wiggle through and continue doing what they want to do. I've had the experience of doing this, experience of doing that. But this is God's written word to us. It's the same every time we open it. Aren't you glad that Goliath is still dead and David still wins? Yes. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Christ still went to Calvary for us? And it's not going to be like replayed over and over. No. He did that once and for all. So prophecy fulfilled. Have you ever heard, just a briefly moment, there's a guy that did all the statistics on the prophecies. If we but one person fulfilled just 8 of the prophecies, that is 10 to the 17th power. One person fulfilling 8 of the messianic prophecies, 10 to the 17th power, that is silver dollars spread over the entire state of Texas, 2 feet deep, and the person draws the one silver dollar. That's how many, but chances, that's only 8. If we go to 16, one person, one man fulfilling 16 of the prophecies, and by the way, there's 300 about, 16. It would involve a haul of silver dollars extending 30 times as far as from the earth to the sun. That's just 16. We have one person fulfilling 300 prophecies. I tell you, that alone should make the people sit up and say, wait, how does this happen? It's called God. He does it. He wrote the book. And so we can have, through prophecy alone, just encourages us that God is in control. It's a more sure word even than experience, I believe, that Peter was referring to on Mount Transfiguration. So it's a sure word. It's a shining word, if you're still following along there. A light that shineth in a dark place, a murky, like a dank cellar or dismal swamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, not us. So we are to pay a careful attention to God's word in view of the coming day of judgment. The false teachers scoffed at the idea of Christ's return, and they were like uniformitarianism. Well, things are now as they've always has been. No, there was a flood. Genesis is right. Noah and the people, his family, were on the ark. An ark is real. By the way, in case you haven't seen the ark encounter, I encourage you to go. That's an absolutely amazing display, a reminder of what God has done for us. But they scoffed at the idea of Christ's return, but not so. See, light, it dispels darkness. I can't remember, several Sundays ago, I mentioned the fact that light, we can see with our eyes, it's a small candle, like 2 or 3 miles, I forget how many miles away it is. Our eyes are so much more intricately designed than even the best cameras. God has given us the eyeball alone debunks evolution. Just the eyeball alone. It has to all happen at once. It can't develop over time. It's like a boom. It's like the 747. Can you imagine the 747 evolving into a flying plane? That's ridiculous. It's also ridiculous that you and I can somehow evolve. I just talked to a man today, and we were outside the porta potties, and I came out, and he was washing his hands, which is a very rare thing that you have to wait on to get wash your hands. And he said, "Oh," he goes, "Tim, I want to apologize to you." He said, "I didn't know it, but you're a man of the cloth." And he said, "And I came over to your trailer, and I think I probably said some things that I shouldn't be saying around you, and so I want to apologize to that." I said, "Martin, that's okay." I said, "But you know, it's a shame that people use the name of the one who made us, the very person who designed us, and they're using his name in vain." I said, "I don't think they even understand what they're saying. It just comes such a habit." He says, "I don't think at least I used G or J while I was around you, so I was glad about that." I said, "Well, thank you so much for apologizing." And off he went back to his trailer, and I went back to my trailer. But I thought he was right on. He said, "We're criticizing one, or using his name in vain, the one who's got our back." That's how he said it. I said, "It's the one who made us. We're using his name in vain." I said, "They could use my name in vain all they want, but nobody wants to do that, which is fine. But using God's name in vain, because that's who he is, it's someone of importance. The day star arise in your hearts. Isn't it going to be wonderful when Christ, the star of heaven, if you would, comes? And he raised... This almost sounds as if someone said the second coming is not an objective, outwardly visible event, but rather an inward subjective experience in the believer's hearts. It's going to be both. He's going to come back for us in the air, and we're going to go up to be with him, and it's going to be, wow, isn't it going to be great? Can you just imagine for a moment when the rapture happens and you happen to be alive, and this COVID-19 soaked earth, or whatever it is, or all the discouraging things and all these things that are happening in our country that really, really disgust us and so frustrate us and make us want to cry, we'll be gone. And we'll be with Him forever and ever and ever. Peter clearly believed in an objective, bodily, personal return of Christ. He did. So we find him back over to our lesson as we head pretty much toward home, the closing point probably. I moved there. So it's a Spirit-given word. It is a sure word. It is a shining word. It is a Spirit-given word. The Holy Spirit moved, carried along by, as a ship carries by the wind. A private interpretation. No scripture comes from the private reasoning of man. It is God-inspired. The human author may not understand the meaning and intent of the writing in terms of his own current situation. And there was local fulfillment or immediate fulfillment in a way. And then there was prophecies that carried a latter fulfillment as well. And we'll stop right there because I know it's already a minute after. One illustration in closing. I thought about this. This is really cute. There was the story told about a young boy who was giving his grandmother a Bible for Christmas. He wanted to write something special on the flyleaf, but wasn't sure what to say, so he decided to copy what he had seen in a book that was highly valued by his father. So Christmas morning came, and grandmother opened her gift. She was not only pleased to receive the Bible, but she was amused by the inscription, which read, "To Grandma, with compliments of the author." To Grandma, with compliments of the author. This was to Tim. By the love of the Savior. And so may we read it. If you got a love letter from your wife or husband tonight when you got home, after you picked yourself off the floor, would you wait till like 3 weeks to read it? Or would you, I tell you, I'd be reading it tonight. And yet we have this. Oh well, I don't know if I want to read it tonight or not, or tomorrow. I don't know, I've got some time. You realize how this is a treasure beyond measure. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. We thank you for your prophecy that you've given to us. Just another reason we can have confidence in your word. Or may we study it. You've given us your love letter. May we be your children who love to hear from their Heavenly Father. So Lord, bless us now. Give us a good rest of this week. Give us opportunities to witness. Be with Dr. Bartlett as he comes to us Sunday. May it be a good day. May we have people, maybe some visitors even. I pray, Lord, you'd help our church to grow, that we would see people get saved, baptized, become part of our church fellowship here. Give us safety now, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday. If you want to help the chairs and tables downstairs, if you feel like doing that, that would be great if you want to help out. If not, we won't have to put up too many, but if you want to help out for a few moments, about 5 or 10 minutes.